It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, welcome everybody on this cold Tuesday night. Boy, it is definitely has been cold over the past few days. It reminds me when I was living in New Jersey, but this is Alabama. So, folks, we welcome you all here, and we're glad to be here. And there's a lot of information that we have to put out to you. And there's a lot that's happening, which is being facilitated by the corrupt Democratic Socialist Party. The first thing is this darn impeachment by Nancy Pelosi and her cohorts. It's unbelievable. This man is about to leave office, and they're trying to impeach him. Folks, we can't let him get away with this. This is unbelievable. Is this America? No. We have turned into a third and fourth world country, folks. I'm telling you, a socialist country with what the Democrats are trying to do. And we can't let them get away with it. And we're going to be talking to someone tonight, a familiar voice regarding this. But regarding the impeachment, Dick Morris, we're going to bring him on. And he's going to give us a little insight on what this impeachment is all about. Okay, here we go, folks. Dick Morris.
If the Democrats go ahead with their plans to re-impeach President Trump on Wednesday on the flimsiest of grounds, they're going to face a massive, massive backlash from the American public. I was working for Clinton during the 90s, as you know, and we confronted the Republican efforts to impeach him over the Monica Lewinsky scandal. And the American people never went along with that. They thought that was extreme, and they thought that it wasn't that important to do such a thing. And yet the Republicans persisted day after day, and their ratings fell day after day, while Clinton's remained relatively unchanged. His favorability dropped, but his job approval remained very constant. And you see much the same thing happening with Trump right now. In the Rasmussen poll, Trump still has now a 48% job approval. That's the upper range of what it was during the whole last year. Whereas the Democrats are batting their head against that stone wall by pushing impeachment again. And I think it shows the American people that the Democrats are vindictive, that it's part of the reign of terror we've been talking about. And I really think that they're making a huge mistake. They're making the same mistake the Republicans made in 1998. And to measure the severity of that mistake, remember that 1998 was the first time in the entire history of the United States that the president's party gained ground in Congress during the off-year elections. The only other time it happened subsequently was 02 in the shadow of 9/11. So the Democrats are heading right into the trap and right off the cliff right at the outset.
All right, folks, that was Dick Morris. And normally, what he says become fact, okay? This impeachment thing is unbelievable. But being that it's the Democrats who are pushing it, it shouldn't be unbelievable to any one of us, okay? And another thing, as a retired law enforcement official and retired military officer, how can you compare what happened at the White House to what happened in those cities where businesses were burnt, you know, arson, shootings and everything. How can you do that and say it's the same thing, folks? When the in my opinion, from what I observe, when the Democrats go out and burn down the cities and commit riots and take over blocks at a time, okay, the police just stand by. The political officials stand by and watch it and say, oh, just leave them alone, okay? Then you get a bunch of folks who went to the Capitol and wanted to, you know, go in and talk to the people and say, look, this is not right. You are not doing things that shouldn't be, you shouldn't be doing. And all of a sudden, they're rioters, the FBI is involved, and everybody is involved, and they're looking for people. How many Democrats, how many Antifa, and the Democratic surrogates, how many of them were arrested? How many of them were chased by the police and the FBI? How many? So on one hand, you've got folks who went into the Capitol, okay? They didn't burn the Capitol. They didn't shoot anybody. And then on the other end, you got the Democrats who did all of these things. Okay, how many people were killed? How many policemen were attacked? How many buildings were burnt down during that period? And the Democrats say nothing about it, but punish the folks who went to the Capitol. Is that fair, folks? No, it's not. It's not. Republicans, we have better wake up. Democrats, conservative Democrats, you've better wake up. We are going to have all kind of problems in this country because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, okay? And the folks that they are selecting for these different positions, you know, the secretaries, the cabinet, We are in big trouble, folks. And I can tell you what, not only the Republicans, but conservatives and Democrats, a lot of them don't like this, folks. They don't like what we see. And it's not going to get any better under this administration. It is definitely not going to get any better. But after this here break, we're going to have somebody on, Miss Jones, and you know her, and she was in Atlanta, she was in Georgia, and there's something that she wants to relate to this audience regarding what the Republicans have to do to take over what the Democrats have done. We've allowed the Democrats to talk. To tell about us, okay? Folks, that's not good. We have to tell our own story. We've allowed the Democrats to do that. And you know how they're doing it? Mainly through calling Republicans racist. You're racist. You're racist. You're racist. I've been called a racist because I'm a Republican, okay? And I'm a black guy, but I'm a racist, okay? That's how the Democrats have been doing it for years. And folks, if we allow them to continue, so I tell all the Republicans out there, speak what's on your mind, no matter what you say. Speak what's on your mind, because no matter what you say, you're still going to be labeled a racist, okay? And we've allowed that to happen, folks. We cannot. We cannot. And another thing we're gonna need to do, somebody's gonna need to go to court, the Supreme Court, and invalidate, okay? No more mail-in ballots, folks. No more mail-in ballots, okay? We've got to get rid of that. That's not our system. And in New Jersey, where I grew up, in New Jersey this year, in November, they couldn't go to the polls. They had to vote by mail. There's no way, folks, you're going to verify by mail if a person is allowed to vote or if they're not, okay? And under our Constitution, I don't care if you're a legal alien or what, you still can't vote. You must be a U.S. citizen. And, folks, I don't care what they say, we got a lot of people voting who are not U.S. citizens, okay? We'll be right back after these messages, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I am George Williams, your host. And before we went on the break, I was talking about things that we need to do to stop this corruption by the Democrats. And to me, 90% of the corruption was due to mail-in ballot. And I've said many times since the election why I thought this whole situation with the mail-in ballot is a conspiracy by the Democrat. And it worked for them. It worked for them. Since when can a state order their voters not to go to the poll and vote by mail? And that's what happened in New Jersey, and I think a couple other states. Phillips, you know, have you checked on that? I know New Jersey is one of the states that they didn't allow the voters to go to the polls. They had to do it by mail.
Hawaii, I think.
And Phillip was saying he thinks Hawaii, okay? Now, folks, and they blamed it on COVID, okay? COVID. No, this is not going to work. Not going to work. We want everybody at the poll, and that's why they have, if you're not able to go to the polls, they have absentee. Okay? Remember, with mail-in ballots, there's no form of verification. No form of verification. And this will happen in Georgia. Georgia is not a blue state, folks. It is not a blue state. Georgia is a red state, okay? But because of this corruption by those individuals led by Stacey, was it Ingram? Led by Stacey Ingram.
Abrams.
Right. That's where this corruption took place, okay? And I said this before. I have a buddy here in Mobile whose father passed away 3 months before the November election, okay? Guess what? His mother, and they live in Georgia, okay? His mother got a ballot in the mail for herself and her husband, who was dead for 3 months. And the thing about it is that she, not knowing, she's an elderly woman, she's filled it out and sent it in for herself and her dead husband. Now, are you telling me this is legal or they didn't count that vote in Georgia? Folks, they counted it. Okay? There's no doubt in my mind about that vote. Okay? About them not counting their vote. They counted it. And how many more? Because there's no form of verification. At least with absentee ballot, you know, you request it. You have to send a copy of your license or ID back with that ballot. So they can verify that ballot, okay, or those ballots. But with this, you know, mail-in ballots, there's no form of verification. The law says, the Constitution says you must be a U.S. citizen to vote, okay? A lot of non-U.S. citizens are voting. A lot. And I have to applaud John Merrill in Alabama for standing up and fighting. There's a federal judge up in North Alabama who was born in Ethiopia. His name is Mohammed something. And he authorized some of the organizations in Alabama, Democratic organizations, wanted voting curbside vote in. And he agreed to it. And John Merrill and Attorney General of Alabama fought it. And they won it. Can you imagine if we had curbside voting in Alabama? It's unbelievable. But this Obama-appointed judge, federal judge in Birmingham, he approved it. He approved it. Folks, this is not going to work. We have to stop that. And I'm going to do my best. My slogan now is stop the illegal Democratic advancement. Okay? And in the election 2 years from now, folks, we can't let them have a mail-in voting. We cannot allow that. We cannot allow that. Somebody have to take it to court. If I have to sign up and get a lawyer, I'm going to be one of the plaintiffs for that. Okay? Because that was between 90 and 95% of the corruption doing this. There's no way that Georgia should have two Democratic senators when they have a Republican governor, a Republican secretary of state, okay? And you telling me in this last runoff, if they didn't have mail-in ballots, they were not. Those two Democrats would not have been voted in the Senate. There's no way, folks. There's no way. And we're waiting for our guests to give us a call, and we're gonna talk about this. Plus, folks, we've got to do more outreach. And when I say outreach, I mean the Republican Party have to do more minority outreach. I was shocked when I came back from South Florida to South Alabama, and when I left, I was the senior vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. And at one time, we had 15 blacks to run for office in Alabama. This past election, we had none. The election before that, we had none. Okay? Why? Because the leadership in the Republican Party didn't think that we should do outreach. Okay? Minority outreach. That is the farthest thing from the truth, folks. So now, here I am back in Alabama. As a matter of fact, folks, I'm running for the vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party for District 1 and 2. Okay? I think it's important that we do outreach and I'm shocked that some of the folks who were with the party when I left, I come back, and over half of them are no longer associated with the Republican Party. And why are they not? Because they were talking about the leadership. Nobody reaches out for them. Nobody ever reached out to them. Let me tell you something. I had Congressman Carr call, Jerry Call, on the show. I had Tupperville, and they both told me, George, whenever you want me to go and speak before groups, minority groups, any groups, let me know, and we will definitely go out, and we will definitely speak to those groups. Folks, we got to do that. We've got to do that. Look what happened to Georgia. Look at Louisiana. How the Democrats are gaining have gained in Louisiana. Look at Montgomery County and the city of Montgomery. The Democrats have taken over. Look at Madison County. They barely got by in this last election. The Democrats are doing that. Okay, they're almost taking over. Look in our state legislatures. We have on the Democratic side, 95% of the Democrats in the House are black, okay? 98% in the Senate are black. But on our side, we have no black Republicans in the Alabama House or Senate. None, not one, folks, okay? That's got to change. because I can tell you one Republican black equals 15 black Democrats in the House and the Senate. And I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, because of the fact that we have no minorities running for any position in Alabama under the Republican banner. Okay, folks, this is, we can't. And I'm hoping, and here now, I pray that the mayor Simpkin declare his candidacy for re-election for mayor, because you got Fred Richardson, who stated that he's running, and you have I think Carlos Finney, okay, who stated that he's running. So Mayor Simpkin, I know you're going to come on the show here, and hopefully when you come on, you'll announce that you will be running for another term as the mayor of Mobile. But we have to stop the Democratic progress. Now, most of that progress is via corruption, vote rigging, et cetera, folks. Okay? We have to stop that one way or the other. And to me, those folks who were at the Capitol, they weren't not rioters. They were just folks who were disenchanted, and disenchanted with our Republican colleagues who refused to vote for stop the electoral votes, because it was phony. It was corrupt. So those people were very discouraged about that. And to tell you the truth, hey, I wish I was there also with them, but I wasn't. I had to do my radio show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, your host, and we're glad to be here. I have Mr. Steve Stone, and he's going to enlighten us on a few things. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing good, George. Thank you for having me on your show. I have a bad case of mic fright right now, so I hope you allow me a little leeway there. My name is Steve Stone. I live in the county, Mobile County, that is. I'm a retired Coast Guard reservist. I was a former U.S. Navy submariner for two submarines. I'm a retired federal civil servant with 31 years of service after I retired on December 31st. I wanted to free myself up so I could speak to you tonight. If I was still wearing that badge, I wouldn't be able to. I'm also a member of Common Sense Campaign since 2010. So that's my resume. I'm here to impart a message to everyone within my sound, everyone that's hearing me. All of you, I beg you to do yourself a favor and do me a favor. Tomorrow, call up your chiefs of police or your police deputy chiefs or anybody that's an officer in the police department, not a patrolman. You want a lieutenant or above. Same thing with your sheriff's department. Try to find a lieutenant or above in your sheriff's department. If you can talk to the sheriff, if you know the sheriff, that's fine. Call them up and ask them a couple of questions. What you want to know, what you want to do is propose a scenario to them. If 500 of those bad guys show up on our streets like we saw happen in Minneapolis, Kenosha, Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, Houston. I can't name them all. You know them. You saw what they did. You know who they are, and you know they might come. Now, I had this conversation with our sheriff. I'm not outing him. I'm just telling you the truth. I called him up, and I asked him that question. Then I asked him a follow-up. I said, Sheriff, what would you do? Where is your contingency plan? I said, how would you deploy to protect the high-value assets in our county? His answer did not please me. I think you should talk to your LEs, that's law enforcement, Talk to your LEs. Find out what they've done to prepare. What does it cost to prepare? Nothing. All you have to do is have a plan, an executable plan, and make sure that you have enough buy-in to actually field the types of people you need to protect the assets and the people that you have to protect. Otherwise, if something happens, which they think it won't, I think it won't, and I hope to God it won't, but if it does and we're not ready, we're all at risk. All you need to do is get a hold of those guys, talk to them about it. I've offered my help to the sheriff. I still offer my help to any sheriff, any police chief who wants my help. I have 28 years of planning just for things like this. That's all I have to say. Thank you, George.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're hoping nothing will happen, but you never know. You never know. And we must be prepared. Steve Stone, everybody. All right. We are also awaiting our other guest, who will be coming in very, very soon to talk about some very important things that that we need to talk about. And my like I said, folks, I'm very concerned about the party losing what we've lost over the past few years. And Georgia opened my eyes to what happened in Georgia. Believe me, folks, it really opened my eyes. How could they allow, after the November 3rd election, how could they allow the mail-in ballots to continue for the two elections, the two senator runoff elections? How could they allow that? Somebody in Georgia is not doing something, okay? Somebody is not doing something. And when I say somebody, I mean the Georgia Republican Party, okay? After what happened during the election, and we had folks, boots on the ground in Georgia, who gave us weekly updates on what was happening in Georgia. After what happened in the November 3rd election, how could you allow the runoff to continue in the same manner with all that corruption in Georgia? It's not right. You shouldn't have done it. And you shouldn't have allowed them, the Republican Party of Georgia. I still applaud John Merrill for what he did in Alabama. Okay? He fought the Democratic Party. He fought the Democratic surrogate organizations. Okay? They wanted curbside voting. They wanted mail-in voting. But John Merrill and Attorney General Marshall fought it, and they stopped it. And I'll tell you another thing. Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida, he won the election, and during the election and right after the election, they had to count ballots, mainly because of the corruption in Palm Beach County, Florida, in Broward County in Florida, Miami-Dade County, and several counties, okay, which were heavy Democratic counties. Well, as soon as the governor was sworn in, he fired them all, okay? During this November 3rd election, guess what happened, folks? They had the smoothest election in Florida that they've had in years because those individuals who were in charge of those county elections were Democrats. Were Democrats. And they were corrupt. They were corrupt. So by getting rid of those heavily populated county election officials, everything else went smoothly. Why did that happen? Because the governor didn't take their crap and he fired them. He fired them. And after he fired them, the new chiefs, county election chiefs, came in and they got rid of as many individuals who were not citizens, who were not residents of Florida. They took them off the ballot. Okay. They took him off. And as a result, in this November 3rd election, Florida was one of the top five states to call in the election results very early. Very early. And as a result of that, folks, the Florida took all the, I think they took all, yeah, they did take all of the positions, you know, the Secretary of State, et cetera, except the Agriculture Commission. That was the only one that they didn't win. But other than that, you know, the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, they were all Republicans in Florida, took it over. Now, where is most of the crime, the corruption during the election? Where is it? I believe it's in the urban cities. You look at the map of the voters. That map was almost, you know, totally red except the urban areas. They were blue. And unfortunately, they have the most folks in them, most voters. Okay? But that map was red. President Trump got way more, I think, what, 10,000, 12,000 more voters, or a million more voters than he did in 2016. And he still lost the election. It doesn't add up, folks. It does not add up. So my thing is we have to invalidate the mail-in ballot for our next election. We can't do anything about it now, folks, but we have to do that, okay? We have to go to the court and Supreme Court. Okay. No more mail-in ballot 2 years from now, 4 years from now. No more. And then you'll watch the results. We'll take over the House again. We'll take over the Senate because, in my mind, the Democrats will do anything to get elected. And guess what? They are not going to have a good 2 years in office. Not on the Harris and Biden. They're not. Believe me. They're definitely not. Some of the things that they want to do, Biden and his son were involved in China. They were involved in Russia. Now, how are they going to manage this, run this country? How is Biden and Harris going to run this country with all that mess that they were involved in? Are they going to be blackmailed? We don't know, folks. We really don't know. That remains to be seen. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we have about 10 minutes during this section here. We have with us Ms. Leticia Jones, and you know, she's been giving us a weekly update. She was one of the boots on the ground in Georgia and in Pennsylvania. And we just want to talk to her about what she think about the election. How you doing, Leticia?
I am doing well, George. I'm doing very well. How about you? I hope everyone out there is doing well as also.
Yeah.
As can expect it.
Yeah, we are. What are your opinion of the runoff in Georgia?
I think... Wow, George, that's a whole lot to say in the next 8 minutes. I think we have a lot of work to do, I can tell you that as well, especially with the Republican Party.
Okay.
As I was saying to you before, I think that we have to structure ourselves a lot better than what we have been. And they literally have to go by and start putting money into the minority community, the black community especially, and we have to strategize about this because this is what Stacey Abrams is bragging about. She's bragging about how she went to the places and she got the black vote out, and it looks like that's what the numbers are showing as well. Mm-hmm. The Republicans, they come, you know, that we're always a day late and a dollar short to a certain degree, and we have to start engaging a lot better. We got to have black faces with black people, start educating people out here.
Yeah, you know, because of the fact that I talk about Alabama, how the Democratic Party has taken over Montgomery, the capital of Alabama, and Jefferson County up there in Birmingham, and almost in Madison County, and they're trying to take over Mobile County. So we've got to do something, and we've got to do more outreach, and I talked about that earlier. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely, because they are targeting the heavily black Democratic area, the churches as well. They, a large target number of people they are targeting with the black churches, and I think that's why they, one of the reasons they were able to push Warnock over, because he was at one of the strongest black churches, you know, known to black America in the United States of America, which is Ebenezer. I think that you're absolutely right. I think that we should actually start in Alabama and really start organizing ourselves to be prepared, because we're already into 2021. You have governor's races all across the country, from Virginia all the way over to Texas with Governor Abbott. So the Republicans have to really put their money where their mouth is at this particular point, because we can make things happen, but we have to be able to go into these communities that they have been dodging, per se, for decades. They have to change the strategy. We must, you know, we have to focus on women. We have to focus on veterans and minorities as well, in order to have a, I don't want to say diversified party, but the opportunity has to be provided by the party for people to participate.
Right. Now, when I came back a few months ago from South Florida to Alabama, I was gone for about 2.5 years, and we lost a lot of our black Republicans. And I talked since that time. I've talked to some of them, and I've asked them, why are they not involved with the Republican Party? And my, you know, the majority of the response is that the Republican Party has not reached out to them. They have not come to the communities. And this was the number one complaint. Are you there?
And I absolutely agree with that, George. That is a complaint. The responses are just going into the community, period. For example, in Georgia, we went into the black community, but you're talking about after the areas have already been saturated. And there are a lot of black Republicans out here. There are a lot of people that have left the Democrat Party also are going independent to Republican, but we have to do better in reference to our engagement, because you can't win an election without the black vote, and you can win an election with the black vote.
I know I'm going to call a meeting for later this month with members of the Alabama Republican GOP, minority GOP, and I think I'm going to invite you up to speak with them for South Alabama. I'm doing it, and we need to do this kind of outreach. I think it's very imperative.
Yes, 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 yes. And you've always been a voice, even whether it's been from Florida to Alabama, and you have a plan that we need to put into place in reference to that outreach. And I would love to be there, because this is the kind of conversation and dialogue we have to start having across the country in order for the Republican Party to do better. Because at the end of the day, we have a couple congressmen now, and those are congressmen, mind you. We're grateful that we have people with conservative values. We have, I believe, Owens in Utah, and we also have Donaldson out of Florida, which is good at this particular point, but we still have to show there's still no black women. How can you sell something to somebody and it doesn't represent actually what we're selling? So I think we have work to do, but I think this is a good start, and I think it should be a call to the nation for every black outreach organization or PAC to participate in Alabama, because they are going to try to mobilize Alabama as far as the Democrats are concerned. You know, Stacey Abrams is sharing her game, her platform, her game plan, her game book around the country, shall I say, right now. So everybody should be alarmed.
Right. What do you think about, and I mentioned this a little earlier, we must get rid of mail-in ballots. What do you think about that, and how do you think, I know the courts are the only one, that the Supreme Court is the only one that can get rid of it. What do you think about it?
I think that we, on state levels, we're going to have to start voting on those ballots also, because they are just not constitutional. That is how they cheat. The ballots come everywhere. And I also will say something else. The mail-in ballots and those voting machines. You know what? Whether people like it or not, old school was not always the worst school, and that is a fact. Because at least, you know, if you have one person that comes in and they use a pencil or a pen and fills the ballot out, it's one person. And that information is verified and validated. And the signatures. We have to clean a lot up. And I'm hoping that even with lawsuits that are still pending, like with Sidney Powell's, that as we go into the next election time of 2021-2022, that we'll see some of the results from the Supreme Court in reference to this, these elections and those mail-in ballots, because they are a problem. They are a major problem.
Right. Now, recently, over the last couple of days, I read in Political that the Supreme Court rebuffs bid for universal vote by mail in Texas. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but I will try to find out as much as possible. But I guess I was just trying to breathe a little bit, just being, you know, back, being home for actually maybe a whole 3 days now.
Mm. Yeah, it's very interesting. I just received a text with that in it, and it says U.S. Supreme Court turns away a Democratic bid to force universal vote by mail in Texas, leaving intact a state law that lets people cast no-excuse absentee ballot only if they are 65 or older. So I'm going to check that, and we're going to I'll be talking about that next week, because this is very important.
Yes.
All right.
Especially you said if it's 65 or older, correct?
Right, yeah.
65. And a lot of the states, those originally were the people that were doing mail-in ballots. Okay. But that is a form of manipulation right now, unfortunately, in our society.
All right. We've got about 20 seconds to go, so we had a little technical difficulty. That's why we couldn't bring you on earlier. But, okay, we've got to get out of here, and we're going to have you back again. And can you check that and give us an update?
Yes, I definitely will. And I'm looking forward to the end of the month in reference to coming to Alabama and chatting with the GOP.
Okay, great.
Because it starts there.
Great. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Until next week, Vi con Dios, everybody. Thank you, Letizia.
Thank you.